Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 26. Such 55, such expert relishers surrender themselves fully to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Hoping to obtain exclusive love for him, they abandon their wealth, their families, and their very lives. They are not interested in any of the means and ends of success in this world or the next. So, I mean, you have things that you do to get something. Right, so these devotees, then they're not interested in the method you get things, nor in the things that are gotten by those methods. Right, they're only interested in love for Krishna. Right? That's they have gone beyond the subservience to the rules that apply according to birth, occupation, and spiritual status. So they're only engaging those. Just like the devotee is not under the modes, but he's engaging the modes.
Yes.
So in the same way as the physical, mental, and intellectual platforms are being engaged in the Lord's service.
Yes.
So they're not. How do you say? They've gone beyond the subservience to those, because if you're subservient to something, you get some benefits. So they're just subservient to Krishna. Even if they have not repaid the three debts and are therefore transgressing Vedic principles, by the power of their devotion to Lord Hari, they are ever fearless.
Right.
So whenever a rule is transgressed, it's not that it's just dropped. We hear, oh, devotees don't follow rules. That's because they're following the principle behind the rule. So it's not about dropping the rules. It's about the principle, and that principle is Krishna. Right. So if it's favorable, it's engaged. So it's not that it's about dropping rules. It's about just being engaged in whatever's favorable. Fearlessness and freedom from self-desire are spontaneous symptoms of those who enjoy the transcendental taste of Krishna consciousness. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me, Bhagavad Gita 4.10. Right? As we were hearing in the Bhagavatam, is that becoming purified by knowledge of me is technically is being situated at the Lord's lotus feet. Because right? His feet are the source of all this knowledge. Moreover, pure devotional service, that's why only the devotees understand, because they take shelter of the feet. That's the source of knowledge. Well, if one's proud, one doesn't take shelter, so therefore how you'll get. Moreover, pure devotional service exempts Vaishnavas from the karmic obligations of non-devotees, as Lord Krishna has explained to two of his most trustworthy devotees, Uddhava and Arjuna. As long as one is not satiated by fruit of activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Shravanam, Kirtan, and Vishnu, one has to act according to the regulated principles of the Vedic injunction, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.29. Right? So, the idea is that you're going to be connected to the Lord. Right? By being connected to the Lord, then if that's done in devotion, that's the actual principle. But if not, then you follow the rules that are given on the Paramatma level. Right? Some level you should be connected. Right? Now, whether you see that in connection with the Lord, you know, so you have that aspect of the theistic moralist, or you don't, but at least you're following the rules. If they're a Christian that gives the rules, you're following them, then at least, yeah, so you're situated nicely. Now it's just a matter of adding Krishna consciousness. Right? Just like, let's say, if somebody has habit to study, then you can teach them Krishna consciousness. Right? So that principle is there, but at the same time, is why the mundane is given up, because you're studying mundane knowledge, which is not advisable. But the only reason that you're going to study is because of the mundane knowledge. So that higher principle is obtained, but it doesn't actually become valuable until it's been connected to the Lord. Is that... Yes.
Can you say that this is what we do? We engage our opportunities,
yes,
in sadhana bhakti,
right,
and then we purify them.
Yes.
In hope to taste, to get devotion.
Yes.
And do things spontaneously out of love and not because we oblige them.
Yes. But at that time, then it's not a matter of you're engaging the conditioning, because that is the what was that? As long as we're not satiated by fruitive activity. So as long as we're not satiated, then we're engaging what is our conditioning. Because then at least you're engaged in proper activities. But with time of the devotional service, that becomes the prominent element. Right? And then the engagement of the fruit of activity or the gyan is not important anymore. But that's what you have, that's what you're using. You know what I'm saying? Just like Karna, it's important for him to be engaged in the Kshatriya activities and be recognized for it. Right? But you see, so Arjuna is going on the battlefield, he has that attitude. Right? He's going to fight and defeat Duryodhana, who's been such a thorn in their side for so long. But then when he figures out that he'll beat Duryodhana, but there'll be nothing left, then he thinks, so I don't want to do this. Right? So that means they're not satiated by the fruit of activity, because they think there's some benefit from that. But at the end, it's a matter of it will please Krishna, because you're removing the burden of the earth. So then that way, you're pleasing the Lord, so it's done. So the giving up of the Vedic activities is only that aspect which is in connection with karma jnana. It's not so much the activity itself. You don't see a difference between the devotee who has given up of karma and jnana and the one who hasn't. Because the activities are immediate. And it's just like the kitchen utensils used by a devotee cook and a non-devotee cook are the same. Techniques are the same, everything's the same. What's different is the consciousness. So you can say is that the first one, they're there because they're into cooking, they're a cook, that's their identity, that's what they do, people appreciate, so they give that up. But does that mean they stop cooking? No, this is the common mistake. It's not if you give it up, I don't do anything anymore. But then that's jnana. Because jnana is, I don't need the results, so I don't make the endeavor. Right? Because there's no concept that there's spiritual results and spiritual happiness. They only think that endeavor means material. Right?
Yes.
So,
it means fruitive.
Yes, it means fruitive. So they don't understand is that there's transcendental. Fruitive is just the reflection of the transcendental. Right? Jnana is just the situation of the transcendental. So you have the activities of the transcendental reflected, you have the situation of the transcendental.
So this is dovetailing. It means you're not changing the activity, but the consciousness is being changed because you're connecting the activity.
Yes, yes, like that. At the same time as dovetailing means generally indicates karma yoga, where you're taking the activity that you're interested in connecting it to Krishna. So that's dovetailed. But at the same, so the other is that you're just engaging your conditioned nature. Right? One is that you have an affinity for that conditioning. The others you don't, but that's what you have. Right? It's not that when you're a devotee, you give up the acting according to one's conditioned nature, and now one engages someone else's conditioned nature in the Lord's service.
Would be easier.
Such as?
No, just someone else doing the service.
No. It means that you're engaging someone else's nature. It means you're doing it.
Then it wouldn't be easier.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you can just sit there and get everybody else. And, but then how are you going to get the benefits?
Yeah, I'll have to work on that.
Sign a contract. Is that for winter? No. I'm just saying you lit that on there, then that's to keep the water warm, or?
No, it's to carry it first.
Oh, you mean it'll be a bag?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. I was just going to say it, so I should say a water bottle warmer, right?
Yeah.
It's good. You know, say water doesn't get too cold in the winter.
Yeah.
Rusty. Yeah. Yeah.
They work as a cooler too to keep them cold.
Oh, I see. Yeah, if you make it a little bit wet, then it'll make it cool. Okay, yes, it'll work both in summer and winter. Okay. The proposition implies that after taste is developed, the devotee no longer needs to perform Vedic duties. This point is also made as a positive injunction. O King, one who has given up all material duties and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelter to all, is not indebted to the demigods, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even one's forefathers who have passed away. Since all such classes of living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, one who has surrendered to the Lord's service has no need to serve such persons separately. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.544. It doesn't say they don't serve, but not separately. Mm-hmm. Right? So in other words, if it's favorable to the service, you may be involved in those things. If it's not, you won't. Mm-hmm. You know, just like if dealing with your parents is favorable in Krishna consciousness, you do. If it's not, you don't.
At least to the minimum.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, if they're not devotees, they're not interested in devotional service, then just, whatever's the minimal you have to deal with, that's all you have to do. Now, if they're interested in Krishna consciousness, then dealing with them is part of devotional service. Like that. So that's the whole thing. It's just like, how often do you eat? Right? You know, so it's a matter of, if it's favorable, you eat. If it's not, you don't.
I had a big lunch today.
Okay.
I think it was favorable.
Well, they most of favorite. Okay.
Maybe not the second cheesecake.
Okay. Brain still working?
I'm still awake.
Okay. But then that's good. So, the third one would have been the kill.
I wouldn't be here now.
Okay. Hari Bolji? I'm in class, but you can take them up. Yes. Yes. Okay. Haribo. It's just, you can see it just doesn't. Yeah. Okay, Haribo. But he doesn't have the truck. He's got a bag.
No idea.
She's got an idea. Okay. See, the context is a different river. This is the Ganges. The context was the Jordan.
I got nothing.
No, you got. I mean, less. Okay. Don't worry. Okay, so there's no serving separately. It's not that, okay, now I don't have to deal with it. It's a matter of, if it's favorable, why wouldn't you deal with it? If it's not favorable, why would you?
Yes.
So that's all. Yes.
Isn't it the same what Krishna says in Sarvadharma?
Yes, it's the same thing. All it is you're reversing the approach.
Expert.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Probably.
Okay. Yes. Here, here. Good. Good.
Well anticipated.
Yes. 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 Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Right, this is more important than 10:66.
Yes.
Though both are dealing with the concept of conquest. Actually, I never thought about it. On your side, 1066 was a good year. yeah, all this time. He's been keeping quiet. Now finally we figured it out. Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's a good point.
I'll deal with him later.
Yeah. So, it's the perspective changes. The activity only changes if it needs to. So the idea is that why is someone performing the fruit of activities? They want a benefit. Now, if those benefits are useful in Krishna's service, you'd do the same activities. If they're not, you wouldn't.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, and so, but the position that is presented from the last verse is someone who's actually pious. That's why sometimes it doesn't mean as much to us. But it's that pious person does all the Vedic things because that's what they're supposed to, but at the same time they want the benefits of doing what you're supposed to.
Yes.
It's understood. You do the right thing, then you're going to get a benefit.
Yes.
So they're attached to the benefit they'll get from doing the right thing. You know, so for us, you know, taking care of the forefathers and demigods and this and that doesn't mean a whole lot. You know, so he's... I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, okay, Odin's knock is there, but after that, what do you, you know, what else are you going to worry about?
What have they done for me lately?
Yeah, well, he hasn't hit you with his thunderbolt, so that's not bad.
That's the thing he hasn't done, which I'm appreciating.
Yeah, yeah. You
know,
or your dog, right? Okay, so all this indebted to the demigods, right? I mean, unless you're from the Vedic culture or these other, how you say, pre-Christian cultures, that wouldn't have any meaning. Great sages, you know, okay.
Nah.
Means if you're Protestant, that doesn't fly.
No.
Ordinary living beings, why would you bother? Right? Relatives, eh.
Yeah.
You know, friends, okay, if you have some, right? Mankind, now that's getting really spiritual.
No,
you know, or even one's forefathers, that doesn't even come up, right?
No.
Unless, you know, you're from a, you know, some aristocratic family line, then there might be some consideration about it. You know, you point out the pictures on the wall. So those don't have a lot of meaning, right? But for those of the following the Vedic culture, they take care of all this. All that's part of the duties.
Yes.
So what's being pointed out is that those duties that are important in Krishna consciousness, that remains. Other duties, you don't worry about.
Yes.
So now you're using it for Krishna, then it's done. If it's not useful for Krishna, you don't do it, and there won't be a reaction. Because
yes.
On the material platform, if the fruit of worker doesn't do those activities, he gets a reaction. But the devotee, because he's doing those activities, either for Krishna or avoiding them for Krishna, he's doing the principle. The principle is to please the Lord. He is the source of the demigods. He is, you know, the source of the sages, the forefathers, everything.
Yes.
So if you're worshiping him, it's taken care of.
Yes.
So there's no reaction for not following. Right? It's not that we don't follow into this anyway, and then we start renouncing things more, you know. Yes, we got to give something up, so, but, you know, that's the...
Yes. All right?
Yes.
Sinful reaction and bad reaction. I'm not sure how you distinguish them. Because we were saying one time, you know, that these chakras, they were drinking alcohol and stuff, and they wouldn't get any sinful reaction because it was permitted.
Right.
But they still got a bad reaction. So
yeah, that means there's no sinful reaction, but it doesn't mean the next morning there's not a hangover.
Exactly. But what is a sinful reaction?
Sinful reaction means there's some kind of punishment that's due.
So that comes later.
Everything always comes later. You perform an action and then the result comes later. No, sin means is that it's breaking a rule.
Yes.
Therefore, there'll be punishment for breaking a rule.
A
reaction just means that, one, it gives a result, and two, it has an effect on consciousness. Does that make sense?
Not really.
It doesn't have an effect on consciousness.
Yeah, yeah, but it seems to me that, you know, I mean, there is a reaction, the sin...
No. But see, there's sinful reaction and sinful reaction. Mm. Just reaction means the natural concomitant. You know, you eat a bucket of halva, you feel not quite as physically, you know, enthusiastic as you were before.
Yes.
That's a reaction. Right? You know, it was somebody else's bucket of halva, right? That's a different reaction.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. One's felt on the inside, the other one's felt on the outside.
Or on both sides.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the kshatriya on these occasions, then they may be taking, but it's not that it doesn't have an effect.
Yeah.
They'll say something they shouldn't have, do something they shouldn't have. There will be problems, like gambling. They can gamble, but how did it work out for Yudhishthira Maharaj, right? It doesn't work out so good. But there's no sin. He won't go to hell for that. It doesn't mean Shakuni won't go to hell for that, but you know, Yudhishthira won't.
But generally, when we talk about sinful reaction, it means like more long-term reaction?
No, it can be immediate, but it's just a matter of you're not supposed to do it, you get into trouble. The others, you can do it, but it's not advised. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, you even have that concept in, it comes to mind is in the monasteries before, I'm not sure how long back, is that there'd be a quota of wine they could have every day, the monks. But if they didn't take it, they would get more benefit.
Yes.
You get more spiritual benefit. But if they did take it, it was fine.
Yeah.
You know, so there's always that kind of concept that there's... Even if one has not attained the platform of full surrender, right? Because, okay, that's a fully surrendered. The mere attempt to dedicate oneself exclusively to devotional service to the Lord is perfect, in spite of failures. Sri Narada explains to Srila Vyasadeva. Right? Because someone may say, okay, that's on the advanced platform, but, you know, we should just be performing all our karmic duties. Right? One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature state. Yet, there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Right? It's like, let's say, you know, how rich are you after winning a game of Monopoly?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
No richer. So you've mowed on all that endeavor and you actually don't gain anything. So in the material world, since it's not connected with the soul doesn't gain anything. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the thing. But the devotee, even though he has his he'll be successful. It just may be slower and this and that. There may be obstacles, distractions. Right? So this means that full engagement. So that's what it's meaning. If somebody, puts in time and all their spare time they put into devotional service, going to the temple, associating with devotees, and not, let's say, cultivating family and community and other things like that. You know, community meaning the mundane aspect. There's no loss. Right? Does that make sense? But so they're there. Now, if they're able to maintain that, nice. If they're not, then still, that's just due to immaturity.
Yes.
Once they come to the mature platform, they'll be able to maintain.
Yes.
Sip 58. Greedy to take... See, it's always this switch in just the consciousness and the perspective. That's what we're, you know, as we go on. In the beginning, you see it's okay, there's this situation, that, or this mentality, that. Then it gets into these subtler aspects of just your perception of how you see it. It's not a matter of, you know, good, nice, this, that. It's a matter of how do you define good and nice? 58. Greedy to taste the pleasure of devotion to him. They have no desire for anything else. To them, liberation, heaven, and hell all appear the same. 59. Truly, I tell you, such devotees are limitlessly dear to me as the Supreme Lord himself. My highest ambition is to have their company. Right? So Lord Shiva say, these kind of devotees are very dear to him because he likes to associate with such devotees. Yes.
The same thing was said about Shiva.
It's just like this. Can you say in your devotional life, do you have any devotees that you look up to and you find as an inspiration for being involved in devotional process? Okay. Now, they're your inspiration. But if someone now goes, Narad Muni goes to them, do they not have their? Yeah, so it just keeps going. So in other words, we're at one level of devotion. We have someone on a higher level of devotion. Now they have someone higher than them, and it keeps going back until, you know, we reach the end of the story. That's what's happening. It's personal. So that's why it's not wrong. It's completely correct. Their position as a devotee and the glory that is there and that mercy that they have. But because in their performance, there are people who have greater. So that's what we're dealing with. You know, we're not using the, you know, the tabloid principle here is that, oh, this one has a fire, yeah, forget the then move on to the next one. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing that comes in the papers. Yeah, Shiva's actually a bit of a, you know, like that. You know, it doesn't come like that. It's a matter of, he is glorious. And then he has, so Brahma looks up to him, right? Indra is looking up to Brahma, Brahma to Shiva, Shiva to the Vaikuntha Vasas. So each one has their inspiration. Right? Because they do have that situation. Shiva does have all those glories that Brahma says. But in spite of those glories, then he has those situations or individuals or activities that inspire him in his position. Right? So that one, there is that element of humility, but two, it's just they're just presenting facts, just like it's a fact they're glorious, it's a fact that the next devotees that they're pointing to are also glorious. What's that? Lord Shiva's higher regard for pure Vaishnavas than for his own associates, headed by Nandishwara. Right? Because they're there because of him. So these others who have this pure Vaishnava, then they're what inspire him. His associates, why are they his associates? Because they get along very nicely, they're inspiring, and they like to do the same activities. But to be engaged in those activities, then their inspiration of the pure Vaishnava is beyond that. As Lord Shiva told the 10 Pracheta brothers, you are all devotees of the Lord, and so I appreciate that you are respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. I know that the devotees also respect me in this way, and that I am dear to them. Thus, no one can be as dear to the devotees as I am. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:24-30. Because it's about being, you know, pure Vaishnavas, then it's dear. But then he has his inspiration.
Yes.
Right? 60. In my opinion, dear Narada, anywhere such devotees are found is actually Vaikuntha Loka. Arguing against this fact would be useless, right? Because then you're bringing in time and space. And how does time and space have, what does that have to do with bhakti?
Yes.
So, you know, his point is not even something to bring up. For Lord Shiva, pure Vaishnavas living on earth or anywhere else are no less glorious than the residents of Vaikuntha. Vaishnava should never be judged by whether they live in Lord Vishnu's kingdom or not, because one who possesses the treasure of prema bhakti always has the Lord living with him. The personality of Godhead himself has said, "I do not live in Vaikuntha, in the hearts of the yogis, or inside the sun. Rather, my dear Narad, I am present wherever my devotees sing about me." Padma Purana Uttara Khanda 92, 21, and 22. Right, so all these places, his living in Vaikuntha, being in the heart of the yogi, inside the sun, these are all standard places where he resides. But that's where he resides, you know, as the personality of Godhead. Right? It means not personality, as Godhead. Okay? As the personality of Godhead, he resides in the wherever the devotees are, how do you say, singing his glories. Is that what it says? So now if the devotee combines those two, then it's there also. Right? You see the sun reminds you of Krishna, then both those aspects are there. Right? But it's not by worshipping the sun, that's what's pleasing Krishna. Okay, you've recognized his position, but it's about him as a person. Mm-hmm. 61. Having drunk the nectar of devotion to Krishna, those devotees forget their material bodies and relationships. Thus, even while living in material bodies, they assume the transcendental nature of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. One might question how devotees living on earth and in Vaikuntha can be equal. After all, the residents of earth have bodies made of material energy, while the residents of Vaikuntha have Satchidananda bodies. But Lord Shiva confirms the equality of these devotees nonetheless. Even while living in material bodies, the Vaishnavas lead an existence that is completely spiritual. Right? Because it's your consciousness that makes a difference, right? As the Terminati points out, is we're engaged. I mean, we're there in the spiritual body, but we weren't engaged in the Lord's service. So then what happens? We come here. Right? Why have a spiritual body and not engage in the Lord's service? So you could have a nice material body instead.
Right? Yeah.
Good trade. Mm-hmm. Huh? You see, you take one, look at this, you take one spiritual body.
Yes.
Right? That you're not getting really much benefit from because you can't really engage it too much material. You turn that in, and you get unlimited material bodies. Now look at
that's
the look
sweet
at
deal.
Yeah,
that's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, yeah.
And how long do these bodies last?
That's
fine print.
That's the fine print. Don't worry about that. Just sign here.
Because the one I'm trading will never run out.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. Yeah.
This is the roller coaster where you pay to get off.
Oh, that's the way to do it. Okay. Yes.
I was thinking in this story, each devotee glorify the next one.
Mm-hmm.
However, it seems that they're happy in their own position, and they remain in that position, and Lord is happy with their service.
Yes.
So, you know, what's the catch? It's like
there's no catch. Means, in other words, their glory and their position is true. As the previous devotee said, it's all true. Because Narad Muni is not a sentimentalist, right? So, according to Shastra and all that, it is true. It's correct. So. They are, because that's their position, their devotion. But it's always that one is inspired, because it's always you're following the devotees. Our connection with the Lord is by following other devotees, so it's always going to be that. Does that make sense?
Well, it seems to be incomplete. It's not like a progression. It's like we say something, but then we're happy when we are.
No, but it's not that everyone's not progressing. It's just that everybody's progressing. So you're progressing by your being inspired by those more advanced than you, but they're also progressing by their advance. Yeah, everything's moving. Yeah, so then, yeah. Then it's okay. Yeah, because like Nectar Devotion says, technically only Radharani is the devotee. and everybody else is the devotee of the devotees.
Right. We continue the same order.
Okay.
Ramana, King, Indra, Brahma, it's temporary. They will change. They might go to the spiritual world when they project their devotion. Shiva isn't in his own category. He will not change. He will always stay.
He's
as he is
on the transcendental platform. It's always increasing. Yeah, well, just to give an example in time and space. Okay, how big is the material world or the Mahatattva now?
One quarter.
Okay, one quarter, right? So one quarter of, you know, infinity. Okay? Now that infinity is always growing. So tomorrow it'll be bigger. No?
That would also be my progression.
No, but I'm saying, because you were talking about Shiva.
Yeah.
So that means then naturally he is expanding to complement that. Right? So it's his glory. You know, in other words, he's expanding quicker than we are. We're 1/10,000 the tip of the hair today. We're going to be 1/10,000 the tip of the hair tomorrow. Right? But Shiva's getting bigger and bigger. I was checking on that whether how exact you get, because means they're having hard enough trouble saying how big a hair is, let alone the tip of the hair. But basically, 1/1,000th of an inch is the average size of a hair.
Shaft.
Yeah. So then that means 1/10,000th that is 1/10,000,000th of an inch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Yogi says that the tip of a hair is 1 paramana.
Oh.
1 atom.
Size of an atom. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then that's...
That's in his
yeah, because that's the thing, is that if you get the measurement of the atom, they don't really seem to be able to clearly say that. Though they're trying to measure antimatter, but they can't really even say what matter is.
So the soul is much smaller than the atom,
Okay. And then the Lord's smaller than that, right? There's the atom, then there's us, and then there's the Lord. We're always in between.
Exactly.
Right? The spiritual and the material, we're always in between. Okay, one part of mine.
Everything is lower than the same.
Yes. That's I mean, there has to be variety, right? So something that something's growing, something has to be remaining the same. Right? But it doesn't mean that one's devotion and absorption in the Lord is not ever increasing. You know, so that's the important part. So that's always getting better. Yes.
Is the expanding of the creation...
Is this which of the creation? Expanding, okay.
Expanding of the creation until the Lord keep generating living entities, volumes.
Yeah, everything's expanding. Spiritual, internal is expanding, external, marginal, it's all expanding. Unlimitedly, it's expanding unlimitedly. So it's a little bit bigger than our brain can accommodate. You know, there's only so much you can stuff inside a pea. Right? You know, it's it has its limits. Right?
Achintya.
Achintya, yes. Okay. Okay. Right, so the whole point is that the spiritual body, that's not the point. So therefore, the material body is not the point. So it doesn't matter whether the soul's in a spiritual body or a material body, if they're fully conscious of the Lord, now that's Vaikuntha.
Yes.
Right? Because even if one's in the spiritual world, if one's gazing across to the other side of the Viraja, then you're not actually there. Right? Does that make sense? If you were there, then why is it that, the math or the history teacher always makes some comment about if you should pay attention? Right? You know, because you're not there. You're somewhere else.
Yes. Yeah. I know how it feels.
That's the fun part. They put in the big windows and they complain that you look out them. Like that, yeah. Even while living in material bodies, the Vaishnavas lead an existence that is completely spiritual. Anyone who engages in continuous devotional service to the Lord is situated in the spiritual world and has nothing to do with the material qualities, sattva-guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Right? So continuous devotional service. So that's why that aspect is always emphasized. Because while you're doing devotional service, you're in the spiritual world. When you're not doing devotional service, you're not in the spiritual world.
Yes.
Like that. That's all. So if it's continuous, then you're always there. So from Gita, one who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. So then one's transcendentally situated. So that is then he is acting on that liberated platform. He's liberated, he's acting on that platform. Devotee's liberated, but he still acts according to his conditioning. So he doesn't get the full benefit. Srila Prabhupada explains, did I mention the number? 1426. Srila Prabhupada explains, when a devotee is completely purified, he becomes anyabhilashita shunya. In other words, all of his material desires become zero, right? Shunya. So this is the only shunya aspect that's good. Like that. Being burnt, all his material desires become zero, being burnt to ashes. And he exists either as the Lord's servant, friend, father, mother, or conjugal lover. Because one thinks constantly in this way, one's present material body and mind are fully spiritualized, and the needs of one's material body completely vanish from one's existence. Right? Because there is no needs. It's just, it's just taken care of. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the car. You put petrol, it works. You don't put petrol, it doesn't work. It's not that the car needs petrol. Right? So the body, our identification with the body is no longer there, so there's no more needs. It's just if you want to use it, you got to feed it. Right? That's all.
Very
powerful. Sorry, that was a line from hair.
Yeah, a long time since I saw that.
Okay. An iron rod put into a fire becomes warmer and warmer, and when it is red hot, it is no longer an iron rod, but fire. Similarly, when a devotee constantly engages in devotional service and thinks of the Lord in his original Krishna consciousness, he no longer has any material activities, for his body is spiritualized. Right? That's why this example is given. Because otherwise, much of the time, we try to take and not use this example to explain things. Right? Then we end up with these, fairly mundane concepts that are, will be used in the worldly environment to discuss spiritual. Right? Advancement in Krishna consciousness is very powerful. And therefore, even during this life, such a devotee has achieved the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.7.36. In certain cases, a devotee's material body may literally transform into a spiritual one, like the body of Dhruva Maharaj just before his ascent to Vaikuntha, as described by Maitreya Rishi. Before getting aboard the Vaikuntha airplane, Dhruva Maharaj worshipped and circumambulated it, and also offered obeisances to the associates of Vishnu. In the meantime, he became as brilliant and illuminating as molten gold. He was thus completely prepared to board the transcendental plane. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.12.29. In other words, Dhruva Maharaj obtained a new body made of pure spiritual energy. To thus attain a better body is quite possible. Srila Sanatana Goswami mentions that even drinking a special herbal tonic can give one a more attractive material body. Then what to speak of the attractive form one can attain by always drinking the transcendental tonic of Bhakti Ras. Yes. The above verses prove that physical location is of subordinate importance to consciousness. One may well wonder then what is the unique virtue of Vaikuntha Loka, right? Because it could be anywhere, so why should be there? But the point is why should I be here if there's Vaikuntha Loka? Yes. You know. Yes. 62. But in Vaikuntha, devotees always relish ongoing pleasure pastimes in the very company of the Lord. Therefore, devotees sometimes prefer to live there. Mentioned sometimes, because they may have preaching or other things to do. Although the pure Vaishnavas revel on earth, the glories reveal on earth the glories of devotional service. Only in Vaikuntha do the devotees enjoy the company of the husband of the goddess of fortune and endless varieties of ecstatic pastimes. These loving reciprocations appear in Vaikuntha and nowhere else. For that reason, Vaikuntha has received its name. It is the world where no one ever feels the anxiety, kunta, of not tasting the perpetual flow of devotional rasa. Right? So misery here, technically then, is because we're not tasting devotional rasa. That's why we're miserable here. Because there's the idea, if I do an activity, I'll get a result and I'll get a taste from that. And we do the activity, we get the result, we get the taste, but we're still not freed from anxiety, because the taste we're looking for is spiritual, but we're getting material. So therefore this place is kunta, right? Well, there is Vaikuntha, free from the misery of not tasting the Lord's, devotional service.
Can we say that the Lord is present on the kunta always is the sign of him being more pleased with those devotees in Vaikuntha?
No, not necessarily. It's just that that's, like he says here, therefore the devotees sometimes prefer to live there.
The devotees?
The devotees, yes. Non-devotees never generally have that means let alone preference, there's no option. it's not like the... the couple on the Upper East Side saying, it's a little boring here tonight, maybe we should just go to Vaikuntha and hang out there for the evening, so it's not like an option or something.
And not only on the list.
They're not on the list, yes, they're not on the list. That's the list. Okay. Okay. It is the world where no one ever feels the anxiety, kunta, of not tasting the perpetual flow of devotional rasa. When the personality of Godhead momentarily disappears from the external or internal sight of his devotees in Vaikuntha, his disappearance only increases their eagerness to see him and be with him. In Vaikuntha, even the Lord's absence increases his devotees' awareness of him and their enjoyment of rasa. So the same principles here. You see also is that here is, it's also, things here are a very short time. On transcendental time, it's like 3/4 of a second. One life of Brahma, so it's not that long. Mm-hmm. 63. That is why I say that the residents of Vaikuntha are greater than everyone else. As the objects of Krishna's special mercy, they are his most beloved devotees. Notwithstanding his arguments concerning their equality, Shiva concludes, in the light of the previous point, the Vaikuntha Vasis are greater than liberated Vaishnavas in the material world, among whom Lord Shiva counts himself. Right? The residents of Vaikuntha must be his dearest servants, and in the following verses, Shiva's wife Parvati interjects in order to make a case for this. Right, so it's that we're here, we're thinking of the Lord, but those who are always in the Lord's association, then you could say they have greater mercy. It's a better situation. That's what Lord Shiva is saying. But the point is the Vaikuntha Vasis may be in Vaikuntha, but those Vaikuntha Vasis may be here. So in other words, those that can be there, they may be there or may be here. We're here because we're here. Does that make sense? But being absorbed in the Lord, there's a non-difference. But at the same time, is this a specialness about being there? Parvati praises the goddess Shri, 64-67. Shri Parvati said, "Furthermore, among them all, the goddess Shri is famous as especially dear to the Lord. She is indeed the ruling goddess of Vaikuntha and its residence." Right? So now we're going to go to Vaikuntha Loka, but who are we going to see? Now, Shri. Lord Shiva's consort Devi is a partial expansion of Lord Vishnu's consort Shri. When Parvati heard her husband praise Vaikuntha without mentioning the queen of Vaikuntha, Parvati became somewhat perturbed. She therefore took the liberty to speak out. Right? Because it's like, okay, it's great there, but who's great there? Right? You know. Everyone who knows the goddess Shri knows that she is the beloved wife of Lord Vishnu. Indeed, one of her names is Hari Priya. She is worshipped with reverence by all the Vaikuntha Vasis. To uphold the claim that Lord Vishnu's consort Shri is his most favored devotee, Parvati will now describe her greatness in more detail. 65. Her mercy expands wherever she casts her sidelong glance. Thus the rulers of the various planets obtain their powers, their knowledge, their detachment, and their devotion. Goddess Shri, like Brahma and Shiva before her, is the head of their own Vaishnava Sampradaya. Hence, she is a source of great knowledge, detachment, and devotion. Regarding power, Mother Parvati insists that the demigods are powerful only by the blessing of Lakshmi Devi. It is thanks to Shri that the demigods correctly understand the relative positions of God and the finite living entities, that they have given up interest in material enjoyment and liberation, and that they have become devotees of the personality of Godhead. As Durvasa Muni told Indra in the Vishnu Purana 1929, "Where there is patience, opulence arises, and patience also follows opulence. But how can those not favored by the goddess Shri have patience? And without patience, how can they have good qualities?" And so when we say we get the Lord's mercy, that mercy comes through his potency. So that it means by getting Shri's grace, that's how everything is worshiped. Right?
Yes.
So it means that position is there, it's made clear, but it's not always the main focus. Right? Because Krishna being the energetic is the source, therefore, of the energy. That's one aspect. But that's not really the main. The main aspect is that we're here because we're trying to enjoy Shri. Like that. So you only bring her up in the context where it can be very obvious that there's no chance for enjoyment. Right? But, yeah. So when you have patience, then opulence comes. Because you perform your duties, you have patience, then facility comes. Having facility, then you have patience. Right?
Yes.
Something to be patient about.
Yes. Yeah.
In the same chapter of the Vishnu Purana 1.9.1.20, Lord Indra offered the following prayer to Lakshmi. "O resplendent goddess, you personify the mystic knowledge of sacrifice, of material nature, of the secrets of devotional service, and of perfection for the soul. You are the giver of ultimate liberation," right? Because it's the ultimate. So there's liberation that Parvati and Shiva can give, but ultimate liberation then we see is Lakshmi. Why? Because Lakshmi recommends someone to Krishna, and when she recommends, then that's when you get.
This is Vaikuntha liberation.
Yeah, ultimate liberation will mean entering the spiritual planets, right? Liberation simply means free from the material entanglement. But that doesn't mean you're in the spiritual planets. If you're talking about devotees, then it means that. We mean ultimate or real liberation. The other one is not ultimate, and it also has that temporary aspect. Yes.
Ultimate liberation, can it also mean to get devotional service?
Yes, because that's the only way you enter a spiritual planet. Like that. But if you're saying, you know, ultimate liberation, that would indicate pure devotional service. Like that, yes. So awarding pure devotional service to the devotee, then that's it's just a matter of time and space. That whether you're here and you're on that transcendental platform, or with time you're there and on the transcendental platform. Ultimate liberation is pure devotional service, which is ruled by the consort of the Supreme Person and gained by a fortunate soul only when he recommends that soul to the Lord. 66. Ignoring people like you who worship her with great respect, she vowed to undergo severe penances to worship her beloved Lord, even though he was indifferent to her. The Supreme Goddess Mahalakshmi is the eternal beloved of the Lord of Vaikuntha. She does not have to worship him to achieve him, but her expansions descend as avatars to accompany the various incarnations of Narayana. And some of these avatars of Mahalakshmi are described in Vedic scriptures as performing penance to attain the Lord as their husband. The Kaliya demons' wives prove that this fact is well known. They pray to Krishna. O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya has attained this great opportunity of being touched by the dust of your lotus feet. For this end, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and making austere vows. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.16.36. So she's going through all this austerity to get the lotus feet of the Lord. But Kaliya, Krishna's dancing on his head. So how did he get this benefit? What's the specialness? An example of this austerity takes place in the Vishnu Purana, when she appears as Bhargavi, the daughter of Bhrigu and Kyati. After performing penances, she succeeds in attaining Vishnu for her husband. Another notable example of Lakshmi's tapasya is in the Tirupati Balaji pastime. This pastime begins with Bhrigu Muni's test to determine who is supreme amongst the guna avatars. There he went up to the Supreme Lord, who was lying with his head on the lap of his consort, Shri, and kicked him on the chest. The Lord then arose, along with Goddess Lakshmi, as a sign of respect. Coming down from his bedstead, that supreme goal of all pure devotees bowed his head to the floor before the sage and told him, "Welcome, Brahmana. Please sit in this chair and rest a while. Kindly forgive us, dear Master, for not noticing your arrival. Please purify me, my realm, and the realms of the universal rulers devoted to me by giving us the water that has washed your feet. This holy water is indeed what makes all places of pilgrimage sacred. Today, my Lord, I have become the exclusive shelter of the Goddess of Fortune, Lakshmi. She will consent to reside on my chest because your foot has rid it of sins." Right. So this is how the Lord's responding. Not necessarily how we respond, but definitely the Lord is responding. There are three types of offenses. Offenses of the mind, words, and body, each one worse than the last. Bhrigu committed a mental offense to Brahma, a verbal offense to Shiva, and a corporal offense to Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada comments, "Of course, Lord Vishnu is all-merciful. He did not become angry at the activities of Bhrigu Muni, for Bhrigu Muni was a great Brahmana. A Brahmana is to be excused even if he sometimes commits an offense, and Lord Vishnu set the example. Yet it is said that from the time of this incident, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, has not been very favorably disposed towards the Brahmanas. And therefore, because the goddess of fortune withholds her benedictions from them, the Brahmanas are generally very poor." Krishna, chapter 89. That's the way it goes.
It seems we're somewhat similar with the Brahmanas, that we're not exactly excusing an offense, but rather pointing them out.
Yes, it takes time to cultivate the brahminical qualities. But it also, then, that's a blessing for the Brahmanas, because then life is very simple for them. They don't become too entangled or too like that. So it is a blessing. Just like Narad Muni, he's cursed to always travel. So then it's a blessing. He always goes around, meets the devotees, sings the glories of the Lord.
To be gurus, kicked out from home.
Yes, and then he gets to go.
Out.
Yeah, so it's not a problem. Otherwise, if they had all, then you have to manage the whole thing.
Yeah.
So then it's a problem, yes.
It is a contradictory that the Brahma's intellect is most developed, but then, you know, how is that matching the simple lifestyle? Because then there is a, you know, when things are developed, then, you know, they're more complex.
That's there, but at the same time, is just to give an example in that. Let's say you go into the house of somebody who's just become wealthy. There's lots of things in the house. But let's say you go into the house where they've been wealthy for generations. There's only the exact amount of furniture and articles that room requires, and not one thing more. So that's it becomes so sophisticated, it's simple. Is that what it says? So like that, then it's based on the principles rather than the technique. So the technical aspects are, that's what's simple in the brahminical lifestyle. But the sophistication is no less like that, because then it's the development of those qualities that show it. You know what I'm saying? So it's also one of the styles.
You see that the ladies, they get upset. Parvati was upset by Chitraketu.
Yes.
Shri, even though...
And she's also upset here because they didn't, you know... Vaikuntha Loka, you know, hey, what about Lakshmi? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Something special. Are we allowed to be upset?
Is it like inherent?
Is it like a...
Inherent in the nature of the
ladies? Yes, it's inherent. So just that's what adds to the. Otherwise, everything would always go on the same exactly. You'd know how it would work, right? It's just like this. You know, you do this, you get this reaction. You know, so then that sense of control is there. Yes, I did this, I got this reaction. But then after a while, one will get bored because you always get the same reaction, right? Therefore, is for every endeavor made, the reaction is never the same twice. And that way, then it always keeps one. You know, in other words, if the man feels he's the one that runs the mechanics, then he always has to run the mechanics. And since he's supposed to, you know, he prides himself in being the intelligent one, he has to use the intelligence to run the mechanics. He can't just happen by chance. You know, so therefore, the masculine qualities that the men are very proud of, then the women keep them on their toes, that they're at their best. Right? You know. So it's like you're good at that, but it's not necessarily you're the one that's going to be saying what you're doing, right? The man thinks, I'm the doer, but, you know, but if someone else tells you what to do. So that's what it works out. And the person telling you what to do is not the doer. So it balances. Because if everybody is telling everybody what to do and doing everything, that would be a real mess.
Sometimes he doesn't even know why he's doing it.
Who's
the man?
Because they don't think about it. If they think, then it's you have to keep up the speed. If you lag behind, then there's going to be a, you know, in other words, the distance between what you're doing and what you're understanding, if they're not in the same place, then the bigger that gap, the greater
the risk,
you want to keep it. Therefore, whatever you do, means if you're doing it and they're right in line, ladies don't say anything. Or they might make a sarcastic comment, you know, that's funny, a funny sarcastic comment, but it's not meant. But if there's any gap, they'll immediately mention it. You know, I'm working so hard. Why do you always mention? You know, because it's got to be in line. You know? There's a gap there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like this. If there's no gap, can you stick anything in there?
No.
No. But if there's 1 millimeter gap, so many things you can stop in there. You know, thin knives are really good at going in there.
Yeah.
Right. So. And you know, if you think that's bad, if it gets bigger, then you know you have a bludgeon. You know, so you know, stick to the.
Yeah.
This makes sense. Yeah. So that's the way it is. Any problem? Or? No, it's just.
Need a confirmation.
Yeah. No. It's just, Yeah. No, that's just the way it is. That's why it's here. Because you want to. Then the point is then the best will be happening. Otherwise, you know. Brigham Muni returned to the banks of the Saraswati to report his findings to the sages, who became jubilant on learning of Vishnu's greatness. Everyone is happy except Lakshmi. What follows is the traditional account of Sri Lakshmi Devi and Lord Venkateshwar's descent to earth. Lakshmi could not tolerate this insult to her eternal lord and master, Narayana. It was unbearable that she witnessed such a horrible sin of a mortal man coming and kicking with his foot. Right? Because the point is, you want to say something to the man, you say it when the wife's not there. Then that's fine. You know, then the women don't care, but don't say it in front of them. Right? Yeah. So that's the problem, is Chitraketu said in front of Parvati. Right? Here, Bhrigu did in front of Lakshmi. Right? And also Shiva's mentioning all these things to Narad Muni in front of Parvati. Right? So naturally, something would be said. But if it's not, then what do you care? You're not part of the scene. So.
Is it that nobody else is supposed to complain about my man than I? Or is it?
Of course not.
I thought so. Just checking.
Yeah. Like I remember one lady after a discussion on masculine feminine principle. Then she came up to me and made very clear that I understood that her husband doesn't do any of those things wrong.
Yes.
He's perfect.
Yes.
Right? Right? Because on the social thing, yeah. He has to be perfect. That's my husband. He's perfect. Right? You know, okay, your husband's allowed. That's another thing. My husband's perfect. Right? But, you know, one knows that it's not. But still socially she had to know. My husband's not like that. Okay, what to do? Okay. It was horrible. It was unbearable that she witnessed such a horrible sin of a mortal man coming and kicking with his foot in the chest of the Lord of her life. And the Lord is Srinivas. That means he is the abode of Lakshmi residing upon his chest. She worships the Lord there eternally. Cherishing its sanctity, Lakshmi considered that she had become so sinful by seeing the sin. It was so unbearable for her. She revealed her mind to Lord Narayana, but the Lord took it all very lightly. Lakshmi Devi was in this mood. My Lord, you may be forgiving and tolerant to the offense against you, but my heart is burning with anguish for what I have seen. And then she proclaimed, I will leave Vaikuntha and I will go down to the Bhu-loka, where I will perform tapasya to atone for the sin of seeing this offense. Thus, Lakshmi departed from her abode and wandered throughout this world, ultimately coming to the holy place Kolhapura. It was there that Mahalakshmi sat to perform tapasya in the ecstasy of her love for the Supreme Lord. As time went on, Lord Narayana was feeling immense separation from his wife. Even the land of Swetadweep had no charm for him without Lakshmi. So he decided to come down to earth to search for her. And thus the Lord descended to this world as Srinivas. This is an appropriate name because he is always the abode of Lakshmi Devi. And now Lakshmi has left him. So he has come to search for her, to bring her back home. But on deities and that, you always have, there's that the footprint of Bhrigu is always there. So it's a celebrated aspect. So the quote-unquote indifference that Parvati alludes to in this verse may appear refer to Lord Srinivasa's taking a wife, Padmavati, in Lakshmi's absence. After much trial and tribulation, Lakshmi demonstrated once and for all the depth of her devotion to her Lord. The deity of Balaji today stands together with his consort Padmavati, an expansion of Lakshmi, with the original Lakshmi residing on his chest. 67. This most perfect of chaste wives resides forever on his beautiful chest and follows him in all his incarnations. One of Sri Mahalakshmi's expansions is the Lakshmi who controls and dispenses the opulences of this world. Those who seek this Lakshmi's grace know from their experience that she is fickle, chanchala. But the original Lakshmi is never unsteady in her devotion to the Lord Narayana. That's the connection. We're trying to connect Lakshmi to ourselves. That's why it's fickle. But if it's connected to Narayana, then it's stable.
Yes.
She always stays in his company, residing on his chest and following wherever he goes. Just as the Lord of the universe, the God of gods, Janardana, descends to this world, so does his helpmate, the goddess Shri. When he appears as a demigod, she appears as a goddess. When he becomes a human man, she becomes a human woman. She accepts for herself a body that exactly corresponds to whatever body Lord Vishnu assumes. Vishnu Purana 1.9, 142, and 145. So it's always matching. Right? So when he's in Braj, the form matches there. He goes to Mathura, the form matches there. He goes to Vaikuntha, it matches there. You know, as he transforms, he becomes Shiva, she becomes Parvati. Right? So it all works nicely.
Yes.
But this concludes Parvati's praise of Sri. Narada wants to visit Vaikuntha. Right? Because who else is... You're saying that the devotees sometimes are with the Lord, sometimes not. But Sri is always with the Lord. She's always on his chest. So that would naturally make her very special. 68. Sri Parikit said, Then the sage, his mind vibrating with extreme delight, called out, "Glories to you, O husband of the goddess Kamala, O Hari, Lord of Vaikuntha. Glories to you, O Vaikuntha world. Glory to all those, to all who live there. All glories to you, O Padma, Lord Krishna's beloved, O presiding goddess of Vaikuntha." 70. Then, wanting to visit Vaikuntha and personally offer his respects to the goddess of fortune, Narada stood up. Seeing this, Lord Shiva took him by the hand to stop him. Lord Shiva then spoke. Sri Maheshwara said, "My dear Narada, because of your eagerness to see the dearest devotees of Krishna, you have lost your memory. Don't you remember that the Lord of Vaikuntha is living right now on earth in Dwarka?" Narada is not to be blamed for being distracted by the glories of Lord of Vaikuntha and his consort, because Narayana and Mahalakshmi are indeed the all-attractive supreme couple. But Shiva informs him, if Narada travels to Vaikuntha, he will be neglecting an even better opportunity to see the same Lakshmi and Narayana perform their astonishing Prakrita Lila. 72. Queen Rukmini is the supreme goddess of fortune herself. And Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. Rukmini's partial incarnations accompany Lord Vamana and the other avatars of the Lord. In case Narada harbors any doubt that this is indeed the original Mahalakshmi, Lord Shiva quotes the assertion given in the Bhagavatam 1.3.28, Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna, as he appears on earth, is that original personality of Godhead. Just as Krishna in Dwarka is not an avatar, but is the Supreme Lord himself, similarly Queen Rukmini is non-different from the original goddess of fortune. The dearest devotee of the Lord in Vaikuntha, Mahalakshmi herself, Yeah. On the other hand, the Lakshmis who accompany the avatars of Krishna are themselves avatars of Mahalakshmi. Right? So here is also pointing out this point that Krishna in Dwarka, he's not an avatar. Right? He's avatari. But there's a difference in mood, because the devotees there as Ashraya worship him with majesty mixed with sweetness. So there's that mood and that interaction, that facility, those engagements. While in Braj, then they just worship him only with sweetness. Therefore, it's different. But it's not that he's an incarnation. Rukmini is the perfectly complete divine consort of the complete personality of Godhead. She always serves at Sri Krishna's lotus feet. So sit down, my dear Brahmana, and I shall whisper in your ear a great secret. Please hear this with absolute confidence. Shiva stopped Narad Muni from leaving for Vaikuntha. Now he is about to stop him from leaving for Dwarka, at least not before hearing more confidential advice. What Lord Shiva wishes to say should not be heard by everyone, not even by his personal associates. He wants to whisper it into Narada's ear, thus also avoiding the possibility of displeasing Parvati, who is a close friend of Mahalakshmi's. Yeah, so even the great controllers of the universe have to be careful. Here Shiva is that. Indra, where Krishna comes and takes the Parijata flower, then he's in trouble. Right? Lord Shiva praises Prahlad, 75-86. There is a greater recipient of Krishna's mercy than your father, me, and other servants like Garuda, and even than the goddess of fortune. His name is Prahlad. He is famous throughout the world as the dearmost devotee of Krishna. Because Prahlad's devotion to the Supreme Lord is so deep, he is exceptionally dear to the Lord. He is greater than all the Lord's servants in Vaikuntha, including Garuda and Vishrakshena and even Lakshmi. This is stated in several places in the seventh canto. First, Prahlad is possessed of more fearlessness than any of the demigods of Vaikuntha devotees. Quote, the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other great demigods dared not come forward before the Lord, who at that time was extremely angry. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.1. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport. Thus, Lord Nrisimhadev was so very angry that the great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, and even the goddess of fortune, who is the Lord's constant companion, could not pacify him, even after offering prayers of glorification and praise. No one was able to pacify the Lord in his anger. But because the Lord was willing to exhibit his affection for Prahlad Maharaj, all the demigods and the others present before the Lord pushed Prahlad Maharaj forward to pacify him. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, was requested to go before the Lord by all the demigods present, who, because of fear, could not do so. But even she had never seen such a wonderful and extraordinary form of the Lord, and thus she could not approach him. The Lord has unlimited forms and bodily features, Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, and Antarupam, Brahma Samhita 5.33. These are all situated in Vaikuntha, yet Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, being inspired by Lila Shakti, could not appreciate this unprecedented form of the Lord. In other words, for the common man, the form of the Lord as Nrisimhadev is certainly unseen and wonderful. But for a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, such a fearsome form of the Lord is not at all extraordinary. By the grace of the Lord, a devotee can very easily understand how the Lord can appear in any form he likes. Therefore, the devotee is never afraid of such a form. Because of special favor bestowed upon Prahlad Maharaj, he remains silent and unafraid, even though all the demigods, including even Lakshmi Devi, were afraid of Lord Nrisimhadev. Narayana parasarve na kutaschana bibhyati, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.17.28. Not only is a pure devotee of Narayan like Prahlad Maharaj unafraid of any dangerous condition of material life, but also if the Lord appears to mitigate the fear of the devotee maintains his status of fearlessness in all circumstances. In another instance, Prahlad Maharaj himself remarks at his own good fortune. O my Lord, O Supreme, because I was born in a family full of the hellish material qualities of passion and ignorance, what is my position? And what is to be said of your causeless mercy, which was never offered even to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi? You never put your lotus hand upon their heads, but you have put it upon mine. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.26. Srila Prabhupada comments. Prahlad Maharaj was surprised at the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead. For although Prahlad was born in a demoniac family, and although the Lord had never before placed his lotus hand on the head of Brahma, Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, his constant companion, Lord Nrisingadev kindly placed his hand on the head of Prahlad. This is the meaning of causeless mercy. The causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be bestowed upon anyone, regardless of his position in this material world. Everyone is eligible to worship the Supreme Lord, irrespective of his material position.
The mercy is called causeless, means it doesn't have any cause.
Yes.
The Lord had devotion, so that was the cause.
But it's not that the Lord has, so does Lakshmi, so does Shiva, so... But yes, but he's just marveling at the unique specialness of the mercy that the Lord gave. See, it's not that because he did it, the Lord has to reciprocate. That's his own determination. Does that make sense? You do something, you have to get the results. Here, it's a matter of. You do something because the Lord is pleased, he wants to give results. But it's not that because you've done it, that forces him that he has to give. That's the meaning of causeless. He's still independent.
Can we say that the mercy is causeless, but Prahlad Maharaj is reciprocating with it in a way that the others are not?
Reciprocating means?
That taking advantage of that causeless mercy.
It's not so as taking advantage. Because he's pointing out that it's not something he's done, it's just the Lord has reciprocated in that way. It's just the nature of his devotion, therefore it's reciprocated in that way. Does that make sense? Because one can say, oh, but you know, Lakshmi or these others are in these positions, but they're expansions of the Lord and his consort for functioning at particular positions that express certain interaction with particular devotees. Right? So the residents of Vaikuntha are worshipping in a certain way. He's reciprocating with that. They want to see him in that way. Right? So that's the
Yes.
But so Prahlad Maharaj, his devotion has even more. So that's what makes him special, because we heard about Vaikuntha, then of Lakshmi in Vaikuntha. Shiva is the one who's mentioning that. Brahma's already, you know, been mentioned before. So now it's been pointed out by Shiva that who Brahma, Shiva, and Lakshmi, that even greater than that is Prahlad Maharaj's, the mercy. Because they're looking for mercy, the show of mercy. Because Prahlad Maharaj was situated on the spiritual platform, he had nothing to do with his body, which had been born of the modes of passion and ignorance. Because he's saying that I'm born in the demoniac family, so passion and ignorance. But the point is he's transcendental. Therefore, that has nothing to do with his body. The symptoms of passion and ignorance are described in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.19 as lust and hankering. Tadara jastamo bhava. Kama lobhas. Lobha dayaschaye, lust and hankering, right? So passion and ignorance, lust and hankering. Prahlad Maharaj became a great devotee. Being a great devotee, thought the body born of his father to be born of passion and ignorance. But because Prahlad was fully engaged in the service of the Lord, his body did not belong to the material world. The pure Vaishnava body is spiritualized even in this life. For example, when iron is put into fire, it becomes red hot and is no longer iron but fire. Similarly, the so-called material bodies of devotees who fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord, being constant in the fire of spiritual life, have nothing to do with matter but are spiritualized. But because the point is what actually is the point of spiritual and material?
Consciousness.
The consciousness, right? So it's not what they're made of. It's the consciousness one has there. Like here, it's goodness, passion, and ignorance. In the spiritual world, then you're going to have Satchitananda. Right? So that's not actually what makes the place. That's just the facilities.
Yes.
Right? It's the mentality. That's what makes it. Is that what I'm, you know, it's just like, let's say you have all kinds celebrities, then they have a get together at a very opulent and fancy place. You know, so then it's very nice like that. Jai ho. Arriba. You know, has that thing. And only they're qualified to be there. But let's say they meet somewhere just on the street. Still, that mood and everything will be there, though the environment's different. Srila Madhvacharya remarks, that's why he says so-called material bodies.
Yes.
Because they may be made out of matter, but they're not material bodies because they're imbued with the spiritual potency. Right? But the living entity who's not God-conscious can be in the spiritual world. And from that, he may have a spiritual body, but actually he's in mundane consciousness. So then you'd say so-called spiritual body.
More rare. Not a
so-called
spiritual
body. 10%.
If you look at that, yes, 10% is there. That means whatever you see here is...
It's
100%. It's 100%, yes. But if you take the cosmos, it's only 10%. So yes, it is rare. Right? But even more rare here is the other way around.
We would need a different analogy for that one, because fire acting like fire doesn't really work.
Yes.
That's true.
Unless you had a firebrand and clubbed somebody up the side of the head with it or something. Yeah, no, it doesn't work so good in the reverse. You lose something in the... Srila Madhvacharya remarks that the goddess of fortune, the mother of the universe, could not get mercy similar to that which was offered to Prahlad Maharaj. For although the goddess of fortune is always a constant companion of the Supreme Lord, the Lord is more inclined to his devotees. In other words, devotional service is so great that when it is offered even by those born in low families, the Lord accepts it as being more valuable than the service offered by the goddess of fortune. Lord Brahma, King Indra, and other demigods living in the upper planetary systems are situated in a different spirit of consciousness, and therefore they are sometimes troubled by demons. But a devotee, even if situated in the lower planets, enjoys life in Krishna consciousness under any circumstances. Paratas svata karamata, as he acts himself, as he is instructed by others, or as he performs his material activities, he enjoys life in every respect. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.26. So the demigods, they get distracted because, you know, they want to manage the universe. They want to have the facility to do that, have the authority, have the power, like this. And so when the demons come along and mess with that, then they're disturbed. But for the devotee, then it's not about anything in the material world, so he's always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So then whatever happens, it doesn't bother him. Yes.
What about that street? She doesn't want to manage, she doesn't want to see it. We're talking about the demigods. They want these things.
Right, right.
So that's their impediment, let's say. And we have Goddess Shree in comparison to one. So that's her weakness.
No, but she's not given in this example. Here's only Lord Brahma, King Indra, and the other demigods. So they're devotees. So it's pointed out they're devotees, that's why they're in the position. So those who are the pure devotees, then they're in a greater position. So Lakshmi is not included in that. Because she's the constant companion. Yeah.
Yeah. More valuable than the service of the demigods.
Yeah, no, that's before that. That's another aspect. He's more inclined towards the devotees. But we're talking about that aspect of that. This says here, the demigods living in the upper planetary systems are situated in a different spirit of consciousness, and therefore they sometimes are troubled by demons. But that's not with Lakshmi. It's two different aspects of supporting the specialness of the Vaishnavas. One is in relationship to Lakshmi, the other is in relationship to the demigods.
Okay, then my question would be why. Regarding Goddess Shree, the Lord is more inclined to the devotees.
Yes. So you understand the difference? It's not, because you were saying before, there's what is the fault in her? So she's not in that category because there's no fault. Like that. I think we'll have to wait and see when we come bump into Lord Maharaj. Because the thing is how much is the greatest attraction for the Lord is that interaction of the devotees. Right? So she is the energies of the Lord. Right? So then that aspect is there. I guess it just comes down to the point of who's the devotee and who's the devotee of the devotee. You know, like that. Because she's the devotee, but they're her devotee. So therefore there's that specialness. Because you're dealing with Lakshmi here, so therefore, when dealing with Lakshmi, then it means Lakshmi as opposed to Radharani, right? That Lakshmi is that he's taken on this form to interact with the devotees, right? And she is then the natural the form of the concept that matches. But how you say you have that spontaneous element with the devotees in Braj. So there's something more special there. So
matches mine.
Oh, okay. Okay. So then, yeah, so then maybe we should stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaurav.